Welcome to the Shiur Aksava Kabbalah Parshas Vayakel. The piece I want to take a look at tonight is a piece in Aksava Kabbalah where he develops an idea which is a relatively well-known idea. It's an idea, though, if one talks about this idea, the idea is typically associated with the writings of Rav Shamshon Raphael Hirsch. The Haksava Kabbalah was also in Germany, but he was roughly a half a century before Rav Shamshon Raphael Hirsch, and I think it seems pretty clear that Rav Hirsch drew on the writings of the Haksava Kabbalah in a number of places, but I think particularly with regard to what we're going to see tonight. And so we'll see the idea from the Haksava Kabbalah, and then we'll see how he develops it also in a way which is very helpful for understanding different things. So right at the beginning of Parshas Vayakel, it says Vayakel Moshe is called Asman Yisrael Vayomer Aleihem. Moshe Rabbeinu gathered together Klal Yisrael. He said to them, "Eila Hadvarim Asher Tziva Hashem La'asos Osam." These are the things which Hakadosh Baruch Hu has commanded to carry out. What are these things? So the simple pshat is relates to the Melechus HaMishkan, to the building of the Mishkan, which is going to be described in Parshas Vayakel. However, the Mechilta and the Gemara has a similar understanding. Quotes, Rebbe Omer, what's Eila Hadvar? And these are the things. Lahavi Shloshim V'Teisha Melochos Sha'omer Lahem Moshe Alpe. Eila Hadvar, and these are the things, refers to the 39 different Melochos of Shabbos which Moshe Rabbeinu orally conveyed to Klal Yisrael. After all, the second pasuk in the parasha, right after Eila Hadvarim Asher Tziva Hashem Lasos Osam, these are the things which Hashem commanded to do, goes on to describe the prohibition against doing malacha on Shabbos. Ki chol ha-malachos ha-eila hayu b'mishkan, and all of the 39 prohibited labors on Shabbos are associated with the Mishkan, right? We know the Gemara says, the Bavli says, they were involved in the building of the Mishkan. And when Moshe Rabbeinu says Eila Advarim Asher Tziva Hashem La'asos Osam, these are the things. So although it's not spelled out in the Torah Shebiktav and Torah Shebaalpeh, Moshe Rabbeinu, you know, had a big chart with the 39 melachos of Shabbos, and he taught them to Klal Yisrael. But Amro Aleihem, as he said to Klal Yisrael, Eila Advarim Hashayachim LaMishkan LaKevul Chalavodaso La'asos Osam. These are the things, again, the way the Haksava Kabbalah is translating it, these are the items, these are the activities, that's what Dvarim means in this context, these are the activities which are relevant to the creation of the Mishkan. Right? And then when the next pasuk goes on to say that the Jews should not do Malach on Shabbos, the idea is that these very things which I told you to do in creating the Mishkan, these are the very same 39 activities which one is not allowed to do on Shabbos. Sorry, Hizir Malpeh, I'll call Lamed Tes Melochos. So Omer Rav Naftali Vesli, Rav Naftali Vesli, who again was a commentary on the Tanakh, on the Chumash, whom was alternately either accepted by the firm community or not so accepted by the firm community, so as Haksava Kabbalah quotes him a number of times. So Rav Naftali Vesli writes as follows: Da ki yesh hevdel ben milas avodo ben milas melacha. This is really the essence of what the Haksava Kabbalah quotes, again from Rav Naftali Vesli. And we'll see that, again, this is famous. If you ask people today about this distinction, they'll say, oh yeah, Rav Hirsch, you know, writes in that vein. There's a difference between the word melacha and the word avoda, both of which we normally translate as work. But there's a difference between the two. Avoda kolel kol amasim sha'adam oseh. Avoda includes any kind of activity that a person does. Ve'afilu ein b'maseu inyam yistarech liyadiyah v'chachma. Even if there's no special skill or knowledge necessary to carry out that particular activity, gam einu mishana dover b'maseyu v'lo masakin dover, and avoda also applies to any kind of work, even if you're not changing anything or creating anything or transforming anything. Kemo laseis masos avonim, if you carry a bunch of rocks from place to place, that's called an avoda. You sweat, You have to work hard. It's heavy rocks, right? But at the same time, would you say that it's skilled labor? No, not really. Would you say that it's transformative labor? Not really, right? But it's called labor. You know, it's called avoda. Larutz limakom amakom, to run from place to place. Again, not a skill necessarily, but it's intensive. Laholich kelim achay rabu leveis amechot. Your master is going to the bathhouse and you want to carry his towel. Lahal bishov chayotzim meisim halolu shei meister evet. And your master comes out of the bathhouse. You help him put his bathrobe on. All of these things are called avoda, because they are laborious, they involve labor, but they all just depict a kind of activity which is not necessarily based on skill or based on creativity or anything of that nature. You're just doing stuff. And that's what an eved does. An eved, you know, an eved, a slave, is not one who's tasked to be creative or to utilize skill or a special knowledge or anything of that nature. The Eved does what the master tells him to do. Very simple. All of these activities which we just outlined before, you know, very basic menial labor, are always referred to as avoda, but not as malacha. So what's malacha? The ein shem malacha nofel elo al ha mechadesh davar beinyonim hativim. Melacha applies to where someone is creating something new, where a person changes a substance from the way it was before. And it's not just that you change something, but you improve the item. You can change something and destroy an item, right? I take a wrecking ball and I knock down a building, so I've changed the landscape, but usually in a negative way. Here I'm changing something in a way which is positive. That's part and parcel of the idea of melacha. Hein shiyivneh, hein shiyaros. Whether you're building or destroying, tamid yishaneh. You're always making something new. Kshiyesh b'maaseyu tikur liyishuv ha'olam harizeh melacha. When this change is also something which is positive for society at large, so that's called a melacha. So therefore, if you erase in order to write, if you destroy in order to build, again, they're negative, but they're ultimately geared towards a positive, creative act. Kulan malacha, saying that's all called a malacha. V'chol malacha yesh limud v'yediyah ve'ezas manu ve'ezak kli yaseh. Malacha not only is something which is creative and positive, but it's also skill-based. In contradistinction to avoda, there's usually a special kind of instrument that you need. There's a special kind of knowledge that you need to acquire in order to carry out malacha. V'lochein milas malacha kolelas kol hadvarim hanetuim b'masa bereshis liyishuv ha'olam hazeh l'tikuno asher bara elokim lasos. Therefore, when we find how the Torah describes that God created the world, it doesn't describe God as having created avodos, labors, but rather malachos, skilled creative activities. Right? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu, ki Hashem Yisparach Heichin L'chol Dover Me'elah Zman Yodua U'Minag Yodua. God created the world so that these skilled activities would exist, each one in its right time. V'Sparach Ha'adam Asos Kavi Ha'achanos Ha'elah V'Oz Yisparach Ma'aseyu. And you can carry out all these activities, but you need to be prepared. You need to have the right utensils, the right tools. You need to have the right wisdom, and then you can carry these things out. So, for instance, planting, right? It's a chachma. You know, it's not a simple thing just to plant a seed in the ground. You know, it requires a certain amount of thought. It requires a certain amount of skill as to when to plant, you know, how to go about doing it. And it's a creative activity. Ultimately, the seed is going to germinate and is going to become a plant. If a person does an activity which could be defined as a malacha, i.e., it's creative but it's destructive, right? So then, ein mimenu tikkun ha'olam, and lachein amru chazal lo'asru tola malachas machsheves v'chol ha'makalkil l'mturit. That's why we find in Hilchos Shabbos that if a person is mekalkel, he does something which is destructive in nature, so that's not a Torah violation of Shabbos, it's a rabbinic violation of Shabbos. But to violate Shabbos on the Torah level, it has to be something that's constructive as opposed to destructive. Yotzei mizeh al derech klal ki kol ma'asei Elokim she'asu b'sheshes hayamim nekroim melachos al kein k'siv v'yichal Elokim v'yom ha'shvi mikol melachto ki vo shavas mikol melachto. And indeed, in the beginning of Chumash, when it describes all of the things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made through the 6 days of creation, it consistently describes those things as melachos, not avodos. God implanted in the world the ability to engage in creative activity. That's what God created. And, you know, the ability to do things which are creative, which are positive, which are going to build, is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu instilled in the world during the Sheish Yisrei Bereishis. That's, again, in a nutshell, avoda just means labor. Melacha means a creative activity, a skilled activity, and you know, an activity which ultimately is going to be positive and productive as opposed to destructive.
Apparently wrongly, up until this moment, I always was under the impression that an avoda also has an element of God, divine interest in the avoda, in the, maybe because I got it mixed up with the avoda service or something, but I'm wrong about that, I guess. Avoda is menial labor.
Well, okay, so you're raising a good point over here. Namely, we also find that the term avoda describes the sacrificial service, right? Or serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu in general, right? In other words, even tefillah, you know, even davening is referred to as avoda, right? We say in davening, la'avda b'chol levavcha, right? So why is that? So based on what he said before, the idea, I think, over there is as follows. We are supposed to channel our creative energies towards God, but when we serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we serve God even in ways that go beyond being creative, meaning, you know, if God tells us to do something, we do it, whether or not that's a creative activity, right? God says, bring a carbon, so we bring a carbon. You know, the nature of being an eved, right, being a slave, is that whatever the master tells you to do, you do. Whether, you know, you're not a, the difference between a slave and a professional, right, a lawyer may work very long hours, right, he may work as long as a slave. But, you know, the idea is that the lawyer is engaged in creative activities, you know, the slave just does whatever he's told to do. So avoda in general, our service of God, is this unadulterated devotion to him, where whatever he tells us to do, we're going to do, right? That's why the term avoda presumably is used with regard to, you know, divine service. Yeah.
Isn't an eved, he has certain the house and the lawyer, whatever, supposed to be doing that,
supposed to be doing
menial.
Well, so eved basically means that you do whatever you're supposed to be doing.
What is he supposed to be? He's supposed to be doing only what he's geared to do. In other words, he's supposed to be doing menial jobs if he's not. He's ever involved in menial jobs. He has a certain trade or he has a certain profession. Isn't he supposed to be used for that?
Well, but ultimately the Eved does whatever the master tells him to do. So if the master tells, the master has an Eved who happens to be a CPA, you know, I guess there was a lot of free time, you know, during his Avdus, so he went back to school, got a CPA, fine. You know, so the master comes over to his CPA Eved and says, do me a favor, can you schlep those stones across the quarry? Yeah, avoda. In other words, he does whatever the master tells him to do. In other words, the guy says, chutzpah, better have CPA, you know, it's not right. I'll hire somebody. No, you're a slave. You know, part of being a slave is that you do whatever the master tells you to do, you know, even if, you know, you trained otherwise, right? So that's the essence of avoda. You know, you do whatever, including menial labor if need be.
The high compliment that the Torah gives Moshe Rabbeinu.
It's Eved Hashem. Yeah. Right. In other words, he did whatever God told him to do. You know, even though certainly he was he had a life which was, you know, among the most creative of religious lives that one could possibly imagine. But if God told him jump, he jumped. You know, that's the end of the day. What an evidence. V'lachein, coming back to Shabbos, so v'lachein eila hamalachos kulan asurit lor lasos v'yom haShabbos. So when it comes to Shabbos, the Torah tells us not don't do avoda, but don't do malacha. Ki hisir lo sa'asa kol malacha, v'lachosel lo avodos. The Torah never says don't do avoda on Shabbos. It always says don't do malacha on Shabbos. And the outcome of this is as follows: Shemutel l'talto b'shabbos shulchanos v'kistos ochlim u'mashkim v'laseito sam al ksefo. You could drag, you know, or you can carry on your shoulders heavy things, chairs, tables, food, drink. You can bring them, you know, back and forth inside your house or inside an enclosed area on Shabbos, you know, and it's, you know, you're working up a sweat. You have a recliner that you're, you know, walking up and down with, you know, on your back. And at least midaraisa, that's permissible. That's not a violation of Shabbos. And again, according to Torah law, if you want to run around on Shabbos from place to place, right? Even though there's a lot of exertion involved in these things, parenthetically, rabbinically, some of these things are problematic. Right? So for instance, you know, the pasuk in Yeshaya is understood that you should walk on Shabbos in a slow, deliberate kind of way, not to run around. But that's not an Issa d'Araisa, that's an Issa b'divrei Nevi'im. In other words, that's not part of the Issa of Shabbos of doing malacha. It's not a malacha to run on Shabbos. It may be prohibited based on the pasuk in Yeshaya, but it's not a malacha, right? It is Navoda. I mean, a person runs around all day on Shabbos, he's got to work up a sweat, he's got to be doing something very labor intensive. However, that's Eino Ela Avodos. That's an Avoda. It's labor. God did not prohibit us from doing labor on Shabbos. He prohibited us from doing malacha, skilled, creative activity. Therefore, is chilul Shabbos d'araisa to plow even the slightest amount, to plant even the slightest amount, to write two letters. Afal pi she'ein b'chol amal v'torach. Even though writing two letters, for instance, is not a particularly labor-intensive activity, but kvar chilul es haShabbos lefi she'asa malacha, it's called malacha because it's a creative, skilled activity that requires a certain instrument to be able to carry it out properly. So therefore, it's a malacha, it's creative, even though it's not navoda. The definition of what's prohibited on Shabbos is malacha and not avoda. Right? So again, this distinction is one that Rav Shamsa Rafael Hirsch on this parsha talks about at some length, again in explaining the classic question, which is, you know, asked by many Shomrei Shabbos, but certainly asked by many Mechallelei Shabbos. I don't get it. You know, I can carry a sofa up and down the stairs inside my apartment building and not be in violation of Shabbos, at least on the Torah level, and yet if I take a feather and walk outside with it, or I write two letters, I'm in violation of Shabbos on the level of Daraisa. How does that make any sense? You know, doesn't the Torah say don't do any work? So the idea offered by the Aksava Kabbalah, and again Rav Hirsch elaborates on this, is no, the Torah doesn't say don't do work, the Torah says don't do malacha. Malacha means creative activity, skilled activity, and, you know, it's not necessarily labor-intensive activity. That would be implied by the word avoda. Okay. Now, the one aspect of the malachos of Shabbos that requires some elucidation is the malach of hotza'a, of carrying something from inside to outside or vice versa. We know that that's one of the lamedes malachos. It's one of the 39 prohibited malachos on Shabbos. It's hard to see how carrying is considered to be a creative, skilled activity. In other words, even according to the definition that the Aksava Kabbalah is telling us, that was Asr on Shabbos, is creative, skilled activity, and that's why writing two letters is a problem. But, you know, schlepping a sofa up and down the stairs is not a Torah problem. But where does Hotza'a fit into this? I mean, I would think if I carry a feather outside, That's not Navoda, it's not a Malacha, it's not anything, right? Why is that prohibited according to Torah law? So the Aksav HaKabbal gets into that a little bit, and also talks about Yom Tov and how Yom Tov fits into this picture. So let's allow him to develop these ideas a little bit. God created many different kinds of activities when he made the world to enable us to build up the world. Right? There are activities that have to do with planting, agriculture. There are activities that have to do with fixing clothes. There are activities that have to do with improving the quality of my home, right? And if you look at the 39 malachas, they subdivide into malachas that have to do with planting and plowing, and malachas that have to do with the creation of clothing, and malachas that have to do with building and doing things in the house and the like. So these are the 39 malachas that were given to Moshe Rabbeinu as a halacha l'Moshe Misinai, as an oral tradition. If you go through all the malachas, they're all the sort of things that are necessary in order to make the world run and to develop the world, to create within the world. The only exception is carrying from indoors to outdoors or vice versa. That's why in the list of the 39 malachos, carrying is the very last, it's the 39th on the list. Ki kefis faras ha'adam inenu malacha, achar shamasa ba'atzmo michlal advar mamutarimu. Because logically, it's not clear how hotza'a is considered to be a malacha. Shaharei hotza'a samasa mishus ha'yachid v'shus ha'yachid, or b'shus ha'yachid atzmo, apo pi she'ya'ir gedolo me'od, v'amasa rav ein b'kachlum. Because after all, if I can carry stuff inside my house, why is it worse to carry stuff from inside the house to outside the house? When I carry outside, I haven't changed my environment in any real way. I haven't improved the environment. Ella shegzeiras melech he shamosi mirshus lirshus ka'osa malacha yechashev. Rather, says the Aksav HaKabbalah, it is the Gzeiras Melech, it is a divine decree, that even though logically we would not consider Hotza'ah to be a Malacha, it's not a creative skilled activity, HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes the Gzeiras HaKasuv, that carrying on Shabbos is considered to be in the category of a Malacha. And he says that's why when you go through the Gemara, the Mishnah lists off in Masechet Shabbos, in the 7th Parak of Shabbos, the 39 Malachas. The Gemara does not ask regarding any of the other Malachas, how do we know that that's Aser? But when it gets to the prohibition against carrying, so there the Gemara asks, how do we know that that's Aser? So why didn't you ask on the first 38? Because the answer is, because again, Hotzah doesn't really fit the paradigm of the other Malachas. It's not a creative skilled activity. Oh, so one second. So ultimately, says the Aksav HaKabbalah, the Gemara brings a proof from a text that is called a malacha. The pasuk says that when Klal Yisrael were bringing, in next week's parasha, when Klal Yisrael were bringing when Klal Yisrael were bringing all of the items to the to Moshe Rabbeinu to make the Mishkan, there was too much. So Vayitzav Moshe, the Pasuk says Moshe gave the command, Perek Lamed Vav, Pasuk Vav, Moshe gave the command, Vayavir Kolba Machane Leymar, Ish V'ish Al Yasu Od Melacha L'Trumas HaKodesh. Let no man or woman do any more Melacha on behalf of the Trumas HaKodesh, of devoting things, of donating things to the Holy Mishkan, by Yikalei Ha'am Mehovi. So the people stopped bringing the items, meaning no one should do any more molacha, so they stopped carrying the items to Moshe Rabbeinu. So the Gemara says, so you see, that the term molacha is utilized by the Torah with regard to the idea of carrying, right? That's not intuitive, but we see that the pasuk, you know, calls it a malacha, right? So essentially, it's gzeiras hakosuv, you know, that it's included in this category, even though it's not really considered to be, you know, on a logical level, it's not considered to be a malacha. This, what I'm about to say, is not from the Aksava Kabbalah himself, but I think it's worth noting. With Yaakov Moshe Lessen, Zeichet Tzadik Livroch, who was the Mashkiach in YU going back a number of decades, suggested that the idea behind the prohibition of carrying outside on Shabbos is part of the royal nature that Shabbos is supposed to confer upon a person. He said, you know, if you're royalty, you don't have to walk around with all this stuff that you have to take care of. You know, royalty walks around, someone else will take care of it. So part of showing the royal posture of the Jew on Shabbos is to be unencumbered, right? So that's an interesting idea, but again, it doesn't really, you know, see the prohibition of carrying as being a creative skilled activity. There's a separate reason why the Torah would prohibit carrying on Shabbos, again, for this idea that, you know, we're supposed to be royalty and act like royalty on Shabbos, but it's not intuitive that it's included in the category of being a malacha. So Be'ez Hashem, we'll continue with this when we pick up after Ma'ariv, a little bit more about Hotzva'ah, and then he'll see how he relates it to the whole idea of carrying on Yom Tov, and how that works into the Psukim in a very, very, very nice fashion as well. Here, Rabbi Chanan ben Akasha, Omer, Rasa HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Welcome to the second half of the Shira Aksava Kabbalah Parshas Vayakel. So as we had noted, the Aksava Kabbalah shares an idea, which really, he says, predates him, as Rabbi Naftali Vesely, an idea that there's a distinction between a malacha and an avoda, that a malacha is something, an activity which is creative and skillful in nature, and avoda is merely a labor. And the Torah prohibits malachos on Shabbos. It does not prohibit avodos on Shabbos. The one exception being hotza'ah, carrying, which doesn't really seem to be either an avoda or a malacha necessarily, but the Torah, as Gzeiras HaKotzov, labels it as being a malacha based on the pasuk in this week's parasha. Okay. So let's take this one step further, he says. V'yotza lano mizeh shekol ha-masim shetachas ha-shamayim kochach mas-masa kruya malacha. Any kind of skill or activity that exists in the world, if it's a knowledge-based skill, it's called a malacha. V'hine ha-malacha pa'amim tikare malacha levada pa'amim hi avoda gamkein. The truth is, when you look at malachos, they're sometimes simply referred to as malacha, and sometimes a malacha can also be called an avoda. Ki amasa atzmo hu malacha, kshiyas sachir la'asos dos ha-malacha, harei hu avei l'rabo la'asos dos. Again, this is sort of Harry's point from before. The activity can be called a malacha, but if you are hired to do a certain malacha, in other words, let's say I hire somebody to be a builder, so the activity is both a malacha and an avoda. Avoda means that, as we said before, I'm an eved, I have an obligation to do this particular activity. That's why we said even divine, you know, spiritual service, you know, avodas Hashem, it's not called meleches Hashem, it's called avodas Hashem. I serve God because I have this obligation. I'm under contract to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What's that? Meleches Hashem usually means what God makes. Right? In other words, what's that? Yeah, okay, alright. In other words, right. Meleches Shamayim. Okay, alright. But in other words, typically speaking, my obligations towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu are typically described as avoda, la'avdo b'chol levavchem. You know, that's usually the term which is used. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, so that's a pasuk in Yirmiyahu. Okay, I hear. I guess you have the concept of malacha, but in other words, you know, primarily we find that when a person is under contract to someone, it's called an avoda. Kshetavo leminyan tira shekola malachos hashnius b'mishnasenu evshu shunasim etaras avoda. Ofe or Mevashel or Kosev B'Schar V'Chayotzei Bohem. All of the activities which are described in our Mishnah, the 39 prohibited malachos, could be malachos. They could also fall under the category of avoda. In what sense? I could hire someone to do any of the 39 malachos. I hire somebody to plant, to plow, to bake, you know, whatever it is. Levad may ha'otza'a mirishus lirishus, shahotza'a atzma einena malacha, v'ikar ha'isur b'shuyos talya, v'einza min advam shi'avod bo ha'odam l'zulasa. He says, Hotsa, interestingly enough, is neither really a malacha, again, were it not for the Gzeiras HaKasuf, nor is it fully an avoda either. Because, in other words, you've got to hire a guy to carry feathers in and out of the house. You know, that's not an activity that you would hire somebody to do. Al Kain, B'Shabbos Kasuf, Losasa Kol Malacha, Uvichlal Zen, Gam Hotsa, Mirishus, Lushus, Kremafig, Men Vayusav Moshe, Al Yasu od malacha, de rachmana karya malacha. That says the Akstava Kabbalah is the meaning of the word kol in the pasuk losasa kol malacha. You shouldn't do any malacha. Why any malacha? Losasa malacha, right? So any malacha comes to include even hotza'a, which fundamentally speaking, logically speaking, is really not a malacha. But even that, what's that? Right, Tosfos refers to it as a malacha geruah, right? It's interesting that Akstava Kabbalah doesn't invoke the concept of malacha geruah, because again, the way he understands it, it is a malacha, but it's only malacha by virtue of the Torah having sort of arbitrarily labeled it as a malacha, right? But fundamentally speaking, logically speaking, I wouldn't consider it to be a malacha. So losasa kol malacha means don't do any malacha, whether the malacha that intuitively is a malacha, the first 38 malachos, or even the malacha of Hotsa, which is only a malacha by virtue of the Torah having labeled it as such.
Oh, yeah,
messenger said
their
whole life was
spent just carrying,
basically? Mailmen.
Mailmen were
a messenger. I hear. In other words, why? As you have people who get paid to carry stuff from the Rishus HaYochid to the Rishus HaRabim. Right? What's that? Yeah, right. Right. I hear.
But they're not getting paid to carry, they're getting paid to deliver.
Right, okay, right. In other words,
it's the end that counts.
Right.
They're getting paid to move.
Right. In other words, if they could somehow, if they could figure out a way to get the letter from this house to that house without going through the Rishus HaRabim, you know, It would be fine, you know. It's not the hotzah per se. The hotzah is the means to an end. Right, 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 right. So maybe that's the answer. In other words, that's you know, sort of tangential to what they do. So okay, where does this take us? He says as follows: Uvemoadim nemar kol meleches avodo losasu. Right. Again, here the Ksav HaKabbalah is picking up an idea which really, I think the first one to mention is the Ramban on Chumash, where the Ramban points out that if you look in Yontiv, when the Torah speaks about the prohibited activities on Yontiv, it consistently uses the phrase meleches avoda as opposed to malacha. Right? And so the Ramban on Chumash picks up on that and he says, you know, meleches avoda describes those things which are uniquely Yontiv Isurim, as opposed to being Shabbos Isurim. So Akstav HaKabbalah is clearly working off of that, but it goes in a slightly different direction than the Ramban, based on the idea which he already put down. So by Yom Tovim, the Torah always says Meleches Avoda Losasu, Ve'ein B'chlau Zeh Hotsa'a Mirishus Lirishus. And that, says the Akstav HaKabbalah, is the basis of the idea that carrying is permissible on Yom Tov. What's that? We'll get to it. We'll get to it. Okay. That gets to the idea that carrying, at least to some extent, okay, right, is permissible on Yom Tov. Why? Because all the other malachos can be described as an avoda. The only malacha which is pure malacha and has no avoda component in it, right, again, for the reasons that he described before, you'd never pay somebody to just carry into the Rishus HaRabim, right, stam, right? Again, I think, you know, to the point from before, even letter carriers are carrying from Rishus HaYochid to Rishus HaYochid by way of the Rishus HaRavim. You know, they're carrying, a mover is carrying from Rishus HaYochid to Rishus HaYochid by way of the Rishus HaRavim. Nobody would carry from Rishus HaYochid into Rishus HaRavim, just leave it there, as the, you know, no one would be paid to do that. You know, again, which is the malacha itself. So carrying is a malacha, but it's not a maleches avoda. V'hochi kai malon she'en eruv ha'otzah liyomtev. And that's how we hold, that carrying is not prohibited on yomtev.
But there are other malachas that are listed on yomtev also.
Yeah, okay. No, so we'll try to get to that. Aval b'yom ha'kippurim ne'emar kol malacha lo sa'asu. Right, on Yom Kippur it says don't do any malacha. And that includes all the malachos, meaning even the malacha of Hotza'ah, which is a malacha but not an avoda. And indeed, when the Gemara in Kriyos cites an opinion that you are allowed to carry on Yom Kippur, so the Gemara quickly says that's bedusa, that's a joke, you know, to say that a person would be allowed to carry on Yom Kippur, because again, the way Aksav HaKabbalah understands it, it's really ultimately against a pasuk itself. Now, is it so pashut that you're allowed to carry on Yom Tov? I mean, the, you know, many Rishonim understand that you're allowed to carry on Yom Tov if it's the Tzarech Yom Tov, but it's not a carte blanche that you're allowed to just carry things indiscriminately on Yom Tov. So how, you know, based on the analysis of the Aksav HaKabbalah to this point, it sounds like, you know, fundamentally speaking, there is no Maleches Hotza'ah on Yom Tov, which is hard to square with, you know, the position that we accept Halacha L'maaseh. So let's hold that question for a little bit. We'll come back to it presently. He says as follows, Ulehefech, the Gemara in Masechet Shabbos refers to two activities, Tkiya Shofar and Radiyas HaPas. Radiyas HaPas is when, in the good old days, they would stick up a dough against the back of the oven, and there was a procedure by which you would scrape the finished bread off of the back of the oven in order to serve it. So neither of those things, either blowing shofar or taking down the bread from the back of the oven, are considered to be malachos de'araisa. They're prohibited, but they're not considered to be malachos de'araisa on Shabbos, because they're referred to as chachma hiveina malacha. They're considered to be skillful acts, but not malacha. Now, the truth is, that terminology is a little bit difficult to square with the Aksav HaKabbalah. The Aksav HaKabbalah has told us that the definition of a malacha is that it's a skilled activity. So to say chachma hiveina malacha, in a sense, is almost paradoxical, you know, from the point of view of Aksav HaKabbalah. But he says they're not malachas in the sense that they don't really change or transform anything. There's no creative activity involved in Tkiya Shofar or Radiya Sapas. They are, however, considered to be avoda in the sense that someone could be hired to do Radiya Sapas, or someone could be hired to blow shofar.
How about carrying that Amida Pastor?
What about... Okay, well, we'll come back to carrying, Bez Hashem. We'll get there in a minute, right? Kiya Shofar Motsi Kol. Right? In other words, they you know, you do something somewhat constructive, but it's not really considered to be a full fledged malacha. So it's interesting to note the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah says that when the pasuk says "Kol Meleches Avodah Lo Sa'asu," it tells us that does not include Tkiya Shofar or Radiyas HaPas. So how do you get from "Kol Meleches Avodah Lo Sa'asu" to exclude Tkiya Shofar and Radiyas HaPas? So he says, "Ilu Ne'emar Kol Avodah Lo Sa'asu." If it would just say any avodah is aser, Hari Gamelo Asurim. So that would have included these things. Vachshav Shenemar Komalecha Savoda. Yatsu Elu She'eno Malacha El Chachma Shalomad Shir Shalomad Meister Radio Ve'en Bohem Meister Malacha. Right? So in other words, these, once you say that Komalechas Avoda, something to be Asur, and Yom Tov has to be both a Malacha and an Avoda, these activities are Avoda but not Malacha. Again, previously he said that Hotzah is a Malacha but not an Avoda. So that's Mutar on Yom Tov. So something but is also an Avoda but not a Malacha is also Mutar on Yom Tov. Okay? He named his boyer Shabishay Malacha Kulin Lamentes Malachas with all those saying Shishanu Chachamim Levad Hotzah Mirishus Lirishus Famadim Nema Komalachas Avoda Lo Sasu. Fine. So another Kamalachas Avod Losas who teaches us you can carry on Yom Tov. Now here we come to the point which we raised before. Gav de Amrinon Bebeitza de the base Hillel Motzi and Es Halulov Mitam Mitoch Shehutra Hotzal Litzarech Hutra Nami Shelo Litzarech. The Gemara Masech de Beitza, Mishnah Masech de Beitza says that this is Machlokas Bez Hillel Beishamay. Beishamay says you can't carry a lulav outside on Yom Tov, right? Because the only thing you're allowed to carry on Yom Tov is food, right? For the purpose of eating. And Beis Hillel disagrees. Beis Hillel says you can carry a lulav outside on Yom Tov. Why? We talk shehutra outside litzara, chutra nami shelo litzara. So the Gemara says this very important but very sort of bizarre idea. Well, once the Torah allows you to carry for the purposes of food, it also allows you to carry not for the purpose of food. So says the Aksava Kabbalah, doesn't that seem to go against everything that I'm saying? Because according to my analysis, Komalecha Savoda Losasu tells you fundamentally, there's no Isser against carrying on Yom Tov. The Gemara doesn't seem to say that. The Gemara seems to say that fundamentally, only carrying for food purposes is Mutar on Yom Tov. Except that there's this idea called Mitoch, that somehow magically allows us to extend the heter to carry into non-food items. How do you understand that? Virashi Piresh, I'm sorry, Dimashma Dimina Torah Atzura, it implies that fundamentally speaking, it should be also Min HaTorah to carry on Yom Tov. No. Hagufei Shotzah Muteres Ba'ochon Nefesh Mitam HaKosuv Onu Lemeidim Fishenem HaKomalechas Avoda Doksivo V'arigo Lohutru Lutzorech Ochal Nefesh. Right? So he says, no, the opposite is true. How do we know that carrying is something that you're allowed to do for the purposes of ochel nefesh? Right? Now, even Beis Shammai agrees that you can carry food in the Rishus HaRabim. Why should you be able to carry food in the Rishus HaRabim? Right? Everything that has to do with food is mutar on Yom Tov. So let's say that I need to write for the purposes of food on Yom Tov. Right? In other words, I need to put it in order. Right, the kosher store is open, and I need to put an order with the. I need to leave. What's that? Right. Okay. So I need. I'm not sure what we're going to serve for the Yom Tov. So I'm going to make myself a list. Oh, ochel nefesh. Right. I'm allowed to make a list. No, of course you're not allowed to make a list for what you need to eat on Yom Tov. So why is making a list usher, and carrying the food in the Rishus HaRabim mutter? He talks about ariga. Knitting something. Yeah, so Ariga, I'm not exactly sure what Ariga would have to do with Ochel Nefesh. I mean, the orange is cold, you need to knit it a sweater. I mean, I don't know, you know. It's, what's that? Okay, very good, yeah. What's that? Yeah, but that's not really Ariga, in other words. So again, but let's use the example of Ksiva. I mean, why is it further removed from eating to make a list that helps me prepare the foods for the Yom Tov meal than it is to carry the food through the street? I mean, carrying the food through the street, even Beis Shammai assumes, is going to be mutter on Yom Tov. It takes for granted it's going to be mutter on Yom Tov. But no one would say that you can make a list of the things that you need in order to utilize it on Yom Tov. What's the difference? So he says the difference is this pasuk. Komalechas Avoda Lo Sasu means that on a fundamental level, there are heterim with hotza'a when it comes to Yom Tov. Now, it may not be carte blanche that you can carry altogether, but to the extent to which hotza'a is a malacha, but not a maleches avoda, it means that there's at least wiggle room when it comes to Hotzah on Yom Tov. Right. No, 100%. So again, how do we get to those things? But in other words, before we get to that, Lisha is more obviously connected to Ochel Nefesh. Havar is more obviously connected to Ochel Nefesh. Hotzah, in a vacuum, you would say, I mean, again, on some level, I can connect anything to Ochel Nefesh. I can, you know, Tosus, you know, on Shabbos, asks why I'm not allowed to curdle cheese on Yom Tov, because curdling cheese is boneh, right? So, okay, why can't I do boneh for Ochel Nefesh, right? You know, again, not everything is mutter for Ochel Nefesh. So why is Hotzah mutter for Ochel Nefesh? Why is Hotzah different than Ksiva? I understand that Lisha and Havara are much more directly involved in the preparation of the food, but Hotzah is really not. Hotzah really is a couple of stages removed. So his answer is, Komaleches Avoda Lo Sasu comes and tells us that to the extent to which Hotzah doesn't have that Avoda component to it, you know, it is not automatically Aser on Yom Tov. And there's room to be matir, at least insofar as real Ochel Nefesh is concerned. And maybe, according to Beis Hillel, there's even room to be matir Hotzah, you know, beyond the direct idea of Ochel Nefesh.
Yeah. On Shabbos, he said, the reason why now I carry is from Kolmah.
Right.
Now it says by Yantar, Kolmah Tasavoda, so. You would think he'd have to include something else if he's not including carrying, because he has the same call that's presumably being marred as something.
Right, so what's the call in the Meleches Avoda?
We're not talking about carrying, because he's saying it's mutter.
Right.
Or is it just some different thing you have to find?
Maybe others, maybe it's just, there's some other rebuy out there, you know, that. That would come into that would come into play over there. But the idea of Hotzah, I mean, essentially, I think what he's saying is that even if the pasuk doesn't allow Hotzah entirely on Yom Tov, it tells us that to the extent to which it's not a Meleches Avoda, there's more leniency that you can apply to Hotzah than with regard to the other Melechas, even though it's somewhat removed from the actual Ochel Nefesh. However, there is basis in Rishonim, at least Mida Oraisa, for saying that Hotzah doesn't apply as a malacha altogether on Yom Tov. So for instance, he quotes Shitas Rashi and Beitza. Rashi holds that the requirement that the carrying on Yom Tov be done with Tzarech Yom Tov is merely midrabanan. So in other words, although it's true that we accept this idea that when you carry on Yom Tov, it has to be for the purposes of Yom Tov, that's rabbinic. Midaraisa, you can carry entirely without any restrictions. Plus, he quotes the Rambam. The Rambam writes that Hotzah v'Havara yatsu michlal lamites melachos b'yantiv. The Rambam, as we know, is very, very lenient with regard to both Hotzah and Havara. He allows one to carry or to light it or to kindle a fire on Yom Tov, even shalolis arach Yom Tov, even if it's not for the purposes of Yom Tov altogether. So the Rambam certainly seems to fit this drasha from the pasuk that Akstava Kabbalah is making, that the pasuk excludes Hotzah from Yom Tov altogether. Rashi accepts that as well, except that Rashi adds the proviso that midrabanan, you know, there are going to be acts of carrying which are going to be aser. And even the other Rishonim who hold that, let's say, carrying with the carrying with Sarach Yom Tov as a requirement on the Torah level, again, as we explained before, that could be understood in the sense that the Torah is telling us there is greater leniency regarding carrying on Yom Tov than you would have in other circumstances. Finally, says the Akstava Kabbalah, just on this topic of carrying on Yom Tov, you know, how do we know? How do we know in the Psukim themselves that there is a heter to carry on Yom Tov? Where do we see that, right? So he quotes an interesting proof from a pasuk in Yirmiyahu, Perek Yud Zayin. So Yirmiyahu there in Yud Zayin is castigating the Jewish people in Yerushalayim for carrying on Shabbos, and he says, "Lo sozi masa mi boteichem biyom haShabbos." Says the Akstava Kabbalah, he remembers in Yirmiyahu, he says, "Don't carry stuff outside on Shabbos," but the implication is on Yom Tov would be mutter. In other words, he was only castigating them regarding Shabbos, right? Why didn't he say anything about Shabbos and Yom Tov? you know, once you're writing the Parak and Navi, you might as well, you know, lay it on thick, tell them everything that they're doing wrong. Right? If they were carrying improperly on Shabbos, they probably carried improperly on Yom Tov also. They want frumer on Yom Tov. Teretz is, their carrying on Yom Tov was considered to be permissible. So as we see in the Psukim, we see in the Pasuk in Yom Yom, this distinction between carrying when it comes to Shabbos and Yom Tov. Except that Yom Kippur, you could say Shabbos Shabbos.
But we still so, need
right, another thing to say. So maybe, you know, maybe like many Jews today, Chutz Yom Kippur they kept. You know, I mean, that much, you know, they weren't going to do.
But yeah.
They did carry on Shabbos. You know, the Pasuk Yom Yom says the Jewish people were carrying on Shabbos, and Yom Yom yells at them for carrying on Shabbos. So, what's that?
There's no air about today.
Apparently not, right? Right. So you know, it says don't carry on Shabbos, but it's Meduyik, says Laksava Kabbalah. It didn't say anything about Yom Tov, so it implies, you know, this permissibility with regard to Yom Tov. Okay, wish everybody a wonderful Shabbos, and we will pick up next week also between Mincha and Maariv with Parshas Pekudei.